I am glad to be back this morning, and I want to say that I'm coming up on, in April, will be 7 years here as the pastor of New Freedom Church, and the average lifespan of a pastor is about 4 years, and but serving here at New Freedom Church has been a sheer delight and honor. How many of you guys were here my first Sunday? Raise your hand. Yeah. And you can see by just that show of hands how much we have grown over those years and what God is doing. One of my first prayers, my first Sunday was Easter Sunday of 2012. And after service was over, my wife and two boys got in the car and they went back to Tennessee because the boys still had about 5 weeks of school left. And I felt like I had to be here, so I stayed for 5 weeks here. And after they left the parking lot, I went right back into my office. And the first thing that I did was sit down and prayed, God, send workers. Send people who will connect with my heart, what you have spoken to me about doing. Would you send people that will connect to the vision of what we're trying to do here at New Freedom Church? And the people that you saw coming up here are just the tip of the iceberg of people that volunteer each and every Sunday. When you come in, everything is running smoothly and people are where they're supposed to be and they're doing a tremendous amount of work each and every Sunday. They do that so that your experience here will be the most impactful moment, hopefully, of your entire lives. That's why I don't consider it any small thing when Tina says, I've got everything covered on Sunday for coffee. When I first got here, I would pray and dismiss, and the church was empty in 5 minutes. Now I have to start hitting light switches, saying, go home. But the coffee was in the back somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where it was at. And so I wanted people to stay and fellowship together. And so we moved the coffee out here so that we can do that. And if you take up all of these chairs, you will see coffee stains all over these carpets. And you know what? I don't care. I don't care because I know that that means that people are staying around. They're talking to one another. And they get distracted when you talk and you kick over your coffee cup every once in a while. And I am proud of the stains on our carpet. But don't get me wrong, don't start, you know, upending your coffee at this moment. But that is a ministry. Getting coffee together, bringing snacks. Because when you're standing in a church for the first time and you're talking to somebody you don't know, a cup of coffee is a good buffer, isn't it? It just is. A snack in your hand is a good buffer. And so I am appreciative of what Tina Honkinen does each and every week. I am very proud of what Jason Honkinen does. Do you know that, and I think I said this before, but Jason tries to remember every single person's name so that when you come in, you feel like you know him. And if he doesn't know you, he'll try to write your name down on his hand. Because it's important to him that you are greeted properly. That's the kind of caliber of ministry we have in this church. I am so very proud of all of our volunteers. Would you give them a big round of applause? I told our leadership team, and we had our dream session last Sunday. Dream session is what we do every other month. All of our department head leaders come together, and we strategize, and we talk, and we ask what's working, what's not working. And so we're not set on any certain way of doing things. We want to keep things fluid and moving, and I want to hear from my leaders. And because of that, we have a healthy leadership environment. And I'm so very thankful for that. And one of the things that we talked about this past Sunday was we no longer want to have sign-ups for ministry involvement. And the reason why is because I want my leaders to recruit, to go after people that they see can benefit in that ministry. And so you're going to, don't be surprised if you're approached by one of these ministry team leaders that you saw up here and say, hey, I think you would do an awesome job in the sound booth back there. I would love for you to be a part of that. Would you just come and hang out one Sunday and in the sound booth and just check it out? And if they ask you to do that, don't say no. Do it. Try it out. At least you tried it. I always tell my boys that to try their vegetables as a kid, as little kids, and to not freak out about it. And if you try it and you don't like it, I won't ask you to eat it again, because at least you tried it, right? And so when you try things, you begin to learn what you can and you can't do, or what you love and what you don't. And so you never know until you try it. So this is Volunteer Sunday, and today I want to talk to you guys about the mindset and the heart of a volunteer, all right? So let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for the leadership that we have in this church. I thank you, Father, for the spirit that is in this place. I thank you, Father, for 7 fruitful years of ministry. And I thank you, Lord, that first prayer that I prayed 7 years ago in my office, you have brought to fruition. I thank you for the leaders. I thank you for the people in this place that make ministry happen on a regular basis. God, thank you. Bless their lives. Bless their families. And Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak to our hearts prophetically as I preach your word this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you would, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. As you're doing that, I just want to say a quick thank you to everybody for praying for me over the last several weeks, especially this last week, because I'm home dealing with my mom and my stepdad, trying to do all of that. It's been quite overwhelming, and still dealing with a cold for 3 weeks. I absolutely love the fact that I got countless texts at random times from some of you guys in the church encouraging me, giving me scripture. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate the leadership of our associate pastor, Johnny Sharp, that absolutely can take care of things while I'm gone. Krista as well. And again, all of the leadership here, you guys are absolutely amazing. So this morning, the mindset of a volunteer, Philippians 2, 5 through 8, it says this. And I love how it starts. Your attitude. Look at your neighbor and say, your attitude. Not my attitude, your attitude. All right? Your attitude. I love scripture because it's not ambiguous. It's direct, right? It pierces our heart right off the bat. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. Here's what he did. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. It's amazing to me that the God of the universe came down in human flesh and subjected himself to torturous behavior by the very creation he formed by his own hands. And not only that, but given the thought and the understanding that at any moment, Jesus could have called a stop to the craziness, to the torture, to the humiliation. But the Bible says here in Philippians, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Serving requires a mental shift, a change in our attitude. Serving does. Everyone wants to be seen as a servant until they're treated like one. Right? The moment we're not acknowledged for staying late, we get offended. The moment we're not acknowledged for doing over and above, we want to quit. The moment we don't get acknowledgement for the time we stayed after picking up cups and bulletins or stuffing welcome bags or whatever, and we're not acknowledged for that, our attitude shifts. Serving is all about attitude, 100% about attitude. Because if we come at it in any other way, full of pride, full of self-ambition, then volunteering becomes something completely different. It becomes about self-promotion. It becomes about your talents and your abilities and your resources and what you can do and lifting yourself up. And the moment you're not acknowledged, your attitude changes. But putting yourself last is a tough thing to do, isn't it? Have you ever seen the acronym for the word joy? It stands for Jesus, others, and then yourself. This is the same line of thinking that Jesus had when he said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. This is the position of a true servant, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And for some of us, we don't understand that. But to give sacrificially, to give when it's inconvenient, to give not out of your abundance, but out of your lack, is true servanthood. Amen? We can all give a certain amount of time. We can all give a one Sunday a month. We can all give an hour out of our time. But when it starts to become sacrificial, when it starts to eat up other parts of our lives, then inconvenience takes the place of sacrifice. We don't want to be inconvenienced in our society. We want to give out of our abundance so that it, we want to give, but it, we don't want it to hurt. And so sacrifice takes a back seat to self-promotion. But this is not the attitude of our Savior. The attitude of our Savior is he became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. He chose us rather than himself. Now, let me show you. Turn to Matthew 6:16. Jesus was teaching many things but I want to focus on this particular portion of Scripture because this speaks to our motives when we do things. And how many of you guys know your motives matter concerning volunteering and serving? Your motives matter because it speaks to your heart. It speaks toward your attitude. Jesus said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their full reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it may not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." And so the hypocrites Jesus was speaking of were fasting, but their attitudes were off. Look at my righteous acts, is what they're saying. So Jesus is saying here, when you fast in today's society, besides throwing oil on your head, because today that doesn't make sense, all right? Today, wash your hair, wash your face, don't walk around as though you're somber. Act like nothing is going on in your fasting. Don't brag about it. The hypocrites do that. They fast so long that they lose so much weight that their face is sunk in, and then they brag about it, and they look for that attaboy. And so your attitude should be to please your heavenly Father first, because your fasting should be done in private and not openly. Now, if you tell somebody and you're out to lunch and you're not eating, but you're just drinking water, no, I'm not going to eat, I'm fasting. You're not going to lose your reward or anything like that. But it's all about your attitude. Why are you doing the things you do? Why are you serving? Why are you singing? Why are you doing coffee? Why are you greeting? Why are you in the kids' area? All of this, your attitude matters. Your motivation matters. Jesus said they disfigure their faces and show that they are fasting. They were taking pride in how long they could do it. It became a self-promoting fest where they were in their own religious circles patting each other on the back for the job that they are doing, for the amount of time that they are fasting. But instead, Jesus says this about the proper attitude of fasting. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men as you are fasting, but only to your Father, your heavenly Father who is unseen. This speaks directly into the heart of a true servant that wants only to please his heavenly Father who is unseen, because God is always more interested in why we do things than in what we do. He is far more interested in the why we are doing things. In our society, we are encouraged to have a highlight reel of our lives, right? When you go for a new job, you have to update your resume, and it's the highlight reel. We have social media to promote the highlight reel of our lives, right? We have a highlight reel for our kids. We have a highlight reel for our jobs. We have a highlight reel for everything, but we don't highlight the negative parts of our lives. We keep that locked way back in the basement, you know, the leaky part of the basement where nobody goes to, right? We keep that stuff locked down in the back. But God is saying here that I am far more interested in the why than I am the what. So if you want to serve, and I'm not just talking about serving in church, I'm talking about serving whosoever will. Jesus, everywhere he went, was teaching, and he was kind of like, again, if Aaron Rodgers was to walk in this door, you guys would totally forget what I'm talking about. I would too, all right? That's just the way it is. Walking down the street, same thing. It was just, Jesus was, he was a magnet for people. But the one thing, if you'll read the Gospels and read Jesus' trips and read about his comings and goings, you always saw that when people called out his name, he stopped. And he was attentive to them. And not only was he attentive, but he went to their houses. He healed their kids. He spoke life in the streets. He stopped. There was one time where all these kids were coming up to Jesus, and the disciples thought that they were distracting Jesus, and Jesus said, stop. Never hinder these kids from coming to see me. That's the kind of attitude that Jesus had. That is the servant heart that Jesus had. He didn't come just for the spiritually elite. He came for whosoever will. He hung out with tax collectors. He hung out with prostitutes. He hung out with homeless people. He hugged people with leprosy. Now, that may not seem that big of a deal here in our society, but back then, if you touched somebody with leprosy, you were considered as unclean. How would you like to be considered today unclean? I'm not coming to your house because you're completely unclean. I know what you did. I know who you've been with. I know who you've touched. You are unclean. But that was the attitude of their society. And you had to go through this long period of time of ritual cleansing in order that you can be clean again enough for people to come and touch you. And here Jesus is going into these leper colonies, and he's hugging people. He's healing their bodies. He's taking the unseen of society and taking their hand and raising them up, and their bodies are starting to get completely healed, and they're jumping and leaping and giving God glory. And God is requiring that same attitude from us. That attitude that whosoever will, if you give me an open door to speak about my Jesus, I'm going to do it. If you give me an open door to talk about the pain in my life because I see it in your life, I'm going to take time and I'm going to speak to you about how I overcame through the blood of Jesus, through the power of his name. Servanthood goes beyond the four walls of New Freedom Church and into your everyday. To where you're serving on Monday, to you're waking up and you're saying, God, if there's anybody that I can encourage today, let me be the one to do it. If I can hug somebody today, if somebody needs a hug, would you bring them my way because I'm ready? Oh, yeah. I am loaded. Valerie's ready. If there is somebody that I can speak a word of encouragement to because I just came out of the fire and I am full of faith and I'm ready to speak that encouraging word, let me do it. That's the attitude of a servant. That's the attitude of a volunteer. That's the attitude of somebody that is ready to meet the needs of not New Freedom, just New Freedom Church, but whosoever will. When you serve people, you're going to get a little on you. Right? I can't tell you how many times people have cried on my shoulder, literally cried on my shoulder. How many times I've visited sick people in the hospital? How many times that I have been in Walmart and somebody see me and go, hey, could I just talk to you for a second? And don't get me wrong, when I'm in Walmart or I'm going about my business, I've got things on my brain. I'm not thinking, yes, you can talk to me. Let me get my halo out of the back of my pocket. No. Man, I got stuff to do too, just like you do. But we want to recognize the God moments in our everyday life. And we don't want to despise them or run from them. You can't schedule these things. I've prayed over people in barber shops, in Walmart, at the gas station, at hotels, I mean, everywhere. Not because I'm some hyper-spiritual person, but over the years that I've received Christ, I've learned some things about serving and being a blessing. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I hear God. One time I was, this was years ago, but I was at a gas station, and I saw these kids, these teenagers, and I knew they were skipping school because it was the middle of the day, and they were on a payphone, all right? Payphone. And the Lord directed me to go out and talk to them. And I was getting in my car. I was headed to work, and I didn't want to get out and do it. And so what I did was I prayed for them right there in my car. And I stared at them just a little too long, and they saw me. And I went, ooh. And I was just praying, And then they looked away, and I looked back, and both of them were looking at me right then. And then I got the finger from both of them. Some spiritual stuff going on a Sunday morning, right? You're number one. At least they were in agreement, you know? I get it wrong, too. They didn't know that I was praying for them. They would have known if I'd have got out of the car and was obedient. But I just was a creepy dude staring at them. We all get it wrong. But we have to have the attitude that we want to serve, that our life matters, that your experience matters, that it's valuable, that it becomes part of your testimony, a part of the arsenal in which God has given you to be a blessing, not just to the church, but to society as a whole, that whosoever will mentality. There was a gentleman by the name of Samuel Bringle, who was an early Salvation Army official. He was introduced one time as the great Dr. Bringle. Made him very uncomfortable that he was introduced that way, and he wrote about it in his diary later. He wrote this. He said, "If I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without Him, and helping me keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I am so concerned that He uses me that it is not of me, the work is done." And he goes on to say, "The axe cannot boast of the tree it has just cut down. It could do nothing but for the lumberjack. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of this." That we would consider ourselves as lowly as our Savior so that we can see the need right in front of us. That we would take not a humiliating position, but a humble position of a servant who considered all of these things to be nothing, his life to be nothing, in order that we would be saved. That he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Your attitude, if you're taking notes, if you hear nothing else this morning, write this down. Your attitude counts more than your achievements. Your attitude counts more than your achievements. Because we can have a terrible attitude and achieve much and not accomplish anything. But with our attitude in a right spot, our achievements don't matter. It's what's in front of us that does. That we're serving, that our attitude is right. Also, volunteers think more about others than themselves. That requires true humility. And the definition of humility is this: not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That's true humility. This is true. This is truly what it means to lose your life for the sake of others. For the sake of others. We live in a society where we don't want to do good unless we can Snapchat about it, whether we can catch it on our phone so that we can post it, so that we can send it, so that we can get accolades for it. And I'm not saying social media is bad. I post stuff as well. But I don't think my day is that interesting that I have to post 50 things a day. You know, it just isn't. And we need to understand that Jesus emptied himself out by taking on the form of a servant. When was the last time you emptied yourself out for somebody else? When was the last time that what you were doing for somebody else truly cost you something? And you didn't do it out of the abundance of what you had, but you did it sacrificially. When's the last time you truly emptied yourself out and served somebody else and it cost you something that you know they could never repay you? It's only when we forget ourselves that we do the things that deserve remembering. It's only when we die to ourselves and forget ourselves that we do the things that deserve remembering. Denying ourselves is the core value of servanthood. It's the heart of a volunteer. Philippians 2:7 says this: Jesus made himself nothing. Jesus did this not by giving up his deity, but by laying down his glory for the sake of you and me. made himself nothing. Jesus said, I do not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Let us all take the same posture as we go out of these doors this morning and represent the Lord Jesus Christ well. That we take on the same attitude, that we did not come to be served, but to serve and to give our lives as a ransom for many. Now, I'm not saying go out and completely neglect your kids and neglect what you have to do and all of these different things. I'm not saying that. But learn to live sacrificially. Learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and obey His leading. And when He tells you to bless, when He tells you to encourage, when He tells you to go, when He tells you to serve, humble yourself, leave your excuses in the dark, and say yes. Yes to serving, yes to being obedient. And when you do that, you'll open up a life that you only dreamed about. Will it be hard? You better believe it. Will it cost you something? Absolutely. But it'll be sacrificially, and you'll be giving that blesses others. Amen? So I want to close this morning with a quote from John the Baptist. He said this, he said about Jesus. He said, I must decrease in order that he may increase. That, my friends, is the heart of a servant. Would you stand with me? John the Baptist's resolve was tested one day. John the Baptist and Jesus, for those that don't know, they were cousins. So they knew each other prior to all of this. And John the Baptist was this wild and crazy guy, you know. He had camel skin for clothing, and his hair was like crazy. He was eating locusts and honey. What? Like locusts? How many of you guys ate locusts in here before? That was his steady diet. But yet so many people look at John on the outside. But God was using John, and people were coming to him by the thousands to be baptized. John was like the happening guy in town. He had followers. He had disciples himself. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes on the scene, and he's healing people. He's rebuking Pharisees. Nobody ever does that. He's going into the temple, overturning, you know, the money changers, and he's just doing crazy stuff. And thousands of people were starting to follow Jesus, and some of John's followers and disciples came to him and like, hey, this guy's like kind of stealing your thunder here. And this is where this scripture comes from. John's attitude was, look, this guy that's coming on the scene, I am not worthy to even unlatch his sandals. And he said, I must decrease in order that he may increase. That goes counterculture to what we are taught, that we are to finish first, that we are to get ahead, that we are to never show weakness, that we are to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, that you know, we are to create all these highlight reels. And but Jesus said, if you'll die to yourself, if you'll die to what you want to do, if you'll die to your desires, if you'll die to all that you have, I will raise you up and give you newness of life. But church, it all starts at repentance. It just does. Repentance means you have to humble yourself and admit you're wrong. Admit that you need a Savior. Humility begins at the cross. And it works its way out from there. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Today, as I do every Sunday, I unashamedly ask if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Today, you can know for sure by repentance, through repentance and faith in Christ, that you are born again, that you are a child of God, that you are forgiven, that your past has been forgiven, that you can live newness of life, that you can be a child of God, an heir and co-heir with Christ Jesus, that the same power that raised Jesus up from the grave can now live inside of you. You have access to that. And today, I don't know all of you in here, but if there's somebody in here today, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need that forgiveness. If that's you, would you raise your hand just as high as you can get it so I can see it? Unashamedly, today I am in need of Christ. Maybe you're here today and your attitude has been off. Maybe the worries of life, the trouble of all of your circumstances has caused you for a very long time to only focus in on self. Self-preservation, getting through the day, trying to like yourself again. And you know that God is calling you to a higher level of living, and that is through sacrifice. Sometimes we have to serve through our pain. We have to serve while the promise is still on the way. We have to believe for somebody else's healing while we're hurting. But God is faithful. And he said, I'm never going to abandon you. I'm never going to leave you. I am that fourth man in the fire, walking with you. Maybe you need today, you need an adjustment in your attitude. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm not going to formally dismiss. I want to encourage you to come around the altar. If you can't come around the altar, sit where you are. Stand if you want. If you're a pacer, pace. But allow God to check your attitude. Repent if you need to. Repentance isn't a terrible thing. It isn't a humiliating thing. It's a liberating thing. Because that means through repentance, the enemy can no longer hold shame over you anymore. And it becomes a part of our life. It becomes part of our testimony. All the things that I used to be ashamed of, I am no longer ashamed of. Because Christ has set me free, because I have brought it into the light. And so today, if you need an attitude adjustment, I would encourage you, all of you today, come around the altar as a church. Just as I'm talking, just come on out of your seats if you can. Kneel, stand, sit if you need to. But let's take a time of prayer. And when you've prayed, get up and you're dismissed. All right? Be respectful of people that are around the altar. And let's come before the Lord this morning. And I'm just going to take the pressure off. All of us need to be up here, right? We all need attitude adjustments from time to time. So I want to encourage you, come now. Come now. Let's pray together. Take as much time as you need. Kneel, stand, whatever you want to do. I'm not going to pray over you. You pray. You bring your attitude before the Lord. You bring your motivations before the Lord and allow the Lord to sweep over you. And when you feel the release of the Lord to be done, by all means, you are dismissed. If you want to sit, stand, pace, whatever you want to do. But let's close our eyes and get before the Lord and just spend some time before him this morning. Hallelujah. Father, this morning as we, all of us as a church, come before you, we ask that you would search our heart. Search us, try us, see if there be any wicked way in us. See if there be any, our attitudes are off, if our heart is wrong, if our thinking is flawed. Search us, there's no corner that is off limits. You have full reign today, God. Adjust me. In your precious name.